Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. This is Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. This is my first show, and I'm really, really excited to be here. And I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous. But you're with me, and I appreciate that, and I'm looking forward to the show. So our topic today is, what is your mind doing, and what is it doing to you? This is a question I've asked myself many times. And over the course of my own journey, I've learned to value mindfulness as a way to keep fearful and negative thinking in its proper place. I can't get rid of it entirely, but it doesn't have to control my life the way it used to. I'm a person who, through the course of my life, has often dealt with, when I think about the habit of my mind, where does my mind typically go? On a bad day, it's to feelings of hopelessness, of being utterly stuck and unsure of how to change or improve my life and the quality of my life. So what I want to do when I talk to you through this show, or if you come visit me online or come to work with me, is to help you become a student of your own mind so that you can understand your mind's habits and how to change them. So today we're going to talk particularly about this idea of what our minds are doing and how to become a student of our own mind. And I'm going to talk about some the impact that our mind has on us in our everyday life. I'm going to talk about some strategies that you can use that are part of your everyday life that don't take an enormous amount of time or a real transformation of your daily life, but the transformation will be internal eventually, but that will help you become a student of your own mind, and to talk about how to do that, how to do it better, how to do it every day. But we're going to start all of our conversations each week with a breathing exercise. There's a lot of information out there about how important it is to breathe. Of course, it is essential for life, but it is intentional breathing can bring us clarity. It can help us be more calm, and it can help us focus our attention. So today what we're going to do is three deep breaths. So an inhalation in, hold it a little bit at the top, and then let it go. But more specifically than that, I want you to, in that first breath, pay attention to the sensation of your breath. How does your breath feel as it goes across your upper lip and into your nose, that cool sensation that you might then feel at the back of your throat? And then when you let that breath go, paying attention to that feeling as it comes out of your mouth, the warm air across your lips. The second breath is to pay attention to your body and your whole body and any feelings of tension that you might feel. So in that second breath, just noticing tension and letting your body relax. And then in the third breath is to set your intention for this particular moment, just for right now. What is it that you need right now? Do you need to be open to, you know, whatever Mary Angela is going to say today? Or do you need to be calm or at peace? Whatever it might be that you need in this moment. So I'm going to go through this with you, and we're going to start right now. It helps sometimes to just kind of take a deep breath out and then inhale, paying attention to your breath. Second breath, relax. Third breath, set your intention. And just breathe normally. I like to kind of roll my shoulders and wiggle my fingers and toes and just feel present in my body. So today, what is our mind doing? How do we become students of our mind? When I think about this topic, I often think about my friend Rich. I knew Rich a long time ago when I lived in Northern California. And Rich had an hour-long commute every day. He worked in San Francisco, but he lived across the bridge in Marin. And one day he was leaving to go home, and he looked really sad. And I said, Rich, what's up? You look like you're having a bad day. And he said, well, my car radio was busted. Now, this was a long time ago before we carried phones in our pocket that, you know, gave us access to music 24 hours a day. And I said, well, that's too bad. And he said, I didn't really think it was the end of the world, but he looked horrified. And he was. He said, no, it's actually really a problem. I'm going to be alone with my thoughts for 60 minutes. And he said it a little bit jokingly, but he wasn't joking. I knew Rich, and Rich was going to worry for 60 minutes. He was going to spend that whole time thinking about everything that could possibly go wrong in his life. He was not going to be able to distract himself with the radio. It also makes me think of a client I've worked with recently, Nate. He's a great guy. He has what for me would be a difficult job. He works until late at night, until about midnight, maybe a little bit after. And then he has a walk home about 35 or 40 minutes. And I thought when he first told me that, boy, that must be a great time to kind of decompress from the day. So I said to him, Nate, what do you think about on your walk home? And he said, oh, he had immediately had an answer. Well, I think about everything that went wrong during the course of my shift at work. I go through every mistake I made and I think about all the things I should have done differently. That's exactly what I do and think about on my walk home. I mean, what else am I supposed to do with my mind? And I felt a little sorry for him too. And I thought, you know, his mind just takes him on this journey as he leaves work every night. And it's a journey of self-criticism and self-doubt. And that sounds hard to me, but it's not unfamiliar, right? Most of us have that strategy, one of those two strategies when our minds kind of get going on that negative and fearful thinking, either distract ourselves like Rich does and try to push it down and push it away. And, you know, we know it doesn't work long term, right? If I try to push down my fear and anxiety, what's bound to happen, what I can guarantee myself is it's going to pop back up in my reactivity. I'm going to snap at somebody. I'm probably going to snap at somebody I love, and I'm going to be filled with regret. So pushing those thoughts and feelings away, distracting myself, it really doesn't work in the long term, but it's a typical strategy that we use. And the other, I tend to picture a hot air balloon, right? I jump right into, my mind gets going with difficult thoughts, and I just jump right into the basket of the hot air balloon, and off I go, right? And what am I doing? Either like Nate, I'm reviewing every possible mistake I've ever made in the entirety of my life. I have a habit, my own personal one, is I replay conversations from the past, right? I either review them for all of my own failures, I rehearse the ones that maybe are going to come up in the future, or I revise the ones that I've had, right? The French have this wonderful expression, esprit d'escalier, the spirit of the staircase. It's what we think when we've left a difficult conversation and we march away and think, I should have said, I should have said, I should have said. And boy, that can really get me going. And I'm way far away in my hot air balloon of thought. So those are difficult ways to live, aren't they? It's not very satisfying. And what we know and what we've experienced, if I ask you to think about an experience you've had, a difficult experience, to take yourself all the way back to it, maybe a difficult conversation, not the maybe worst thing that's ever happened, but and maybe even a recurring kind of difficult conversation or interaction that you have. Really allow yourself right now, as I'm yakking at you, to think about that. Where were you, right? Picture the room, picture the circumstance, picture the other people involved. Really take yourself all the way back to that moment of suffering and unhappiness and difficulty. I'll tell you, just asking you to do that, I remember my own experiences with that. And you know what? I feel it in my body. The tension in my shoulders, right? My instinct to push my shoulders all the way up, having to pull them all the way down. That feeling in my body of a weight on my chest or an upset stomach, right? When my mind gets going, I don't have to actually be in the difficult situation in order to recreate it and to recreate its impact on the whole of me, right? Not just what's happening in the privacy of my mind, but it comes out. It's in my posture. It's in my relationships with others. It's in my spirit. So how do we get a hold of it in order to become able to free ourselves of that kind of negative and fearful thinking? Well, when we come back, We're going to talk about strategies that we can use in our everyday lives in order to do just that, to become a student of our own mind and to free ourselves from negative and fearful thinking. This is Mary Angela McGuire on Nothing But Now at Transformation Talk Radio, and I'll talk to you soon.
Your favorite Transformation Talk radio shows are now on Spotify.
What?
Simply search out your favorite host or show by name, tap the subscribe button, and boom! With over 150 million active monthly users on Spotify, Transformation Talk Radio is thrilled to expand our reach so you never have to miss an episode. Yeah! Well, what the heck are you waiting for? Log into Spotify and subscribe now.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be, and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself, I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts Oracle Cards. You can order The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts Oracle Cards, and Guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We've been talking about what our minds are doing and what they're doing to us. And what we notice is that when our thoughts, particularly negative and fearful thinking, takes us over, we either shove those feelings aside and those thoughts aside and try to distract ourselves, sometimes in habits that are not really in our best interest, right? Or we allow them to carry us away as if we're in a hot air balloon and we just let us, and those thoughts just run us. So now we're going to talk about what to do to counteract that. And of course, given the topic of the show or the name of the show, what we're really talking about is mindfulness. Now, mindfulness, fortunately, is something that a lot of people are talking about today. And we are living through a very crisis-oriented time right now, and mindfulness has never been more important than it is right now. But what is it, and how do we develop the capacity for a practice of and to live mindfully? It's really, I think, something that is done ideally in a step-by-step, small steps kind of way so that we build our capacity slowly over time. Otherwise, we tend to set ourselves up for failure. So mindfulness, very simply, purposefully bringing our attention to the present moment without judgment. So it's something we do consciously, purposefully, right now, instead of worrying about you looking at me or listening to me or what I'm going to say next. I'm trying to just be here right now with what I'm saying right now. But it's a conscious decision, a conscious choice that I'm making. And the harder part, to do so without judgment. And judgment is something we'll talk about in coming episodes, but really it is critically important to try to develop what many people would call an attitude of loving kindness, or what Jonathan Faust, one of my favorite podcasters, talks about, non-judging awareness. That's what our goal is. So purposefully bringing our attention to the present moment without judgment. So I have a couple of ideas strategies that have really worked for me in my life in terms of developing mindfulness. And so here they are. So last week, I had the privilege of being on Dr. Pat's show here on Transformation Talk Radio. And our topic was making the bed in a world turned upside down. So the practice of making the bed, it's something that a lot of people talk about. And I want to talk about a little bit more about it here today. So a lot of self-help kind of literature says that's a great thing to do. First thing, get out of bed in the morning, make the bed. Why? Well, you have an immediate sense of accomplishment, right? You've done something. And sometimes for us, that can be that's a big mountain to climb. So I immediately have a sense of accomplishment. And also, once I've made the bed, I've brought a little calm or peace into my life. At least the bed is a calm, peaceful place now. I think that's great. It's great advice. I don't disagree with it in the slightest, but it's not how making the bed works for me. I work from home, but my partner doesn't. So I don't make the bed until after we've gotten her either out the door or up the stairs in the morning, because I use making the bed as a kind of meditative practice, as a way to practice mindfulness. So what does that mean? That means that when I'm making the bed, I'm not thinking about anything but making the bed. Right. How much is there to think about when you're making the bed might be what you're asking me. And it's a very reasonable question. Well, I could probably tell you more than you want to know about the difference between the way cotton sheets versus flannel sheets move on a bed. And, but the challenge is not to do something that's cognitively complex. It's actually, the challenge is to do something that's simple and think only about that thing. So let's contrast it a little bit. What do I typically think about? If I'm not practicing mindfulness, what am I thinking about when I'm making the bed or taking a shower or washing the dishes? I'm making a to-do list, or I'm trying to distract myself, or I'm reviewing past conversations, or I'm having an argument in my head with myself or somebody else, right? I'm not present in the moment, so it's certainly not a mindful activity that I'm engaged in, but also it might be an opportunity for my mind to carry me away, or for it to produce thoughts and feelings that I want to shove down, right? So that's what's typically perhaps happening when I'm making the bed. I almost think of it sometimes, this is kind of our practice of multitasking, right? I can make the bed and I can make my to-do list at the same time, and I can have an argument that I'm never going to actually have in real life, right? I'm real busy when I'm making the bed. So I want to do this other thing. I want to try to just think about what's happening in front of me. And it's not I'm not going to write a book about all the things I think about when I make a bed, because it's not that interesting, but it is simply an opportunity for me to do a couple of things. First, I build my capacity for being present and only thinking about the thing that I'm doing that's right in front of me. I build a kind of tolerance for a more quiet mind. And the other thing I would like to do is to realize inevitably, my mind will wander, right? I'm making the bed. Although, honestly, I think somebody doing brain surgery might have a wandering mind. I hope not, but I'm sure it's possible. But so when I make the bed, of course, my mind is going to wander. And so the first thing we want to do is to practice non-judging awareness. Instead of getting mad at myself for now my mind wandering to something else, I just bring it gently back to the practice at hand, the making of the bed. So in your life, I'd like you to find something that you do every day, something simple, something that takes only a couple of minutes, and something that you're alone when you do. That's why I use the example not just of making the bed, but taking the shower, right? Driving someplace close to where you live. So that, for many of us, and especially in now that so many people are working from home, it, I'm sure, is increasingly difficult to find quiet moments by yourself. But I really urge you to look for them, even in the simple things like taking a shower, so that you can practice mindfulness in that moment. And in doing so, as I said, build your capacity for mindfulness, build your tolerance for being present to the moment, build your habit of bringing your mind gently back to what's happening in front of you rather than criticizing yourself for your mind wandering. And then the final thing to do when you're in that practice, afterwards anyway, is to notice, where does your mind go? So when your mind wandered, where did it go? Mind tends to go to the past, kind of a stuck, sad, hopeless feeling on a bad day, right? So when it's fearful and negative thinking for me, it tends to be about the past. So that becomes more information so that you can start to notice and you can almost see it coming. We'll talk about that later, that notion of seeing it coming. So then the second practice I want you to think about and really try out is called Two Questions. And this is something I learned from Martha Beck. So I have been a professor of communication studies, but when I left that work, I started doing life coaching and I wanted to go through a training program. So I went through the one with Martha Beck, who is a tremendous teacher. And it was a great program. And these two questions are something that we used in the program and that I have found really transformational in my daily life. So the first thing you do is, if you have a smartphone, use the clock, the alarm clock function, and a couple of times a day, just make the alarm go off at kind of random times, as long as you're not driving or operating heavy machinery of some type, a time when you can stop and write down the answer to two questions. And or put it on your watch if you have an alarm on your watch, or just find a way to remind yourself a couple of times a day to stop and ask yourself two questions. How do I feel in my body, and what is my mind doing? So the first question, how do I feel in my body? Really asking yourself, is there tension anywhere? Is my stomach upset? Are my shoulders up around my ears? Do I have a headache? My hands are cold? How do I feel in my body? This is really an important question. And what I've noticed in my life coaching practice is how difficult a question it is for people to answer. I think we live in a culture that strongly encourages people to not pay attention to how they feel in their bodies, especially as it relates to kind of emotional realities of our life. Shake it off, walk it off, don't give in to it, fight it, right? And, sometimes those things are not bad advice in every single circumstance. But I think the message that gets relayed is one that numbs us, that says, don't pay attention to your body. Just ignore your feelings, ignore it, ignore it. It'll go away. Well, it doesn't, does it? Right? It manifests itself in a whole bunch of ways. So one of the parts of really coming to terms with and living a mindful life is being able to recognize how we feel in our bodies. So that's question number one, just how do I feel in my body? And specifically, where do I feel it? And then the second question, what is my mind doing? And this is not really a content question. So it's not a question of what am I thinking about, but what is my mind doing? Is my mind fretting? Is it worrying? Is it criticizing me? Is it trapped in the past? Is it fantasizing about the future? What is my mind doing? And what happens is if you can do this a couple of times a day, maybe over several days, you begin to, again, like as I said, with making the bed and the reflection afterwards of, what are my habits of mind? Where are the places that my mind typically goes in terms of my feeling state and what my mind does? Is my mind hypercritical? Is my mind trapped in the past? Is my mind always fantasizing about the future? What is my mind doing? And how is that related to how I feel in my body? Right. So I did this exercise several years ago, and it was very interesting. Just the exercise alone can be very powerful. So the time I really remember doing this, I'm going to tell you about it when I come back. Okay. So we're going to take a break and then I'm going to tell you my story. And then we're going to go on and talk about this idea, this simple but difficult idea that we are not our thoughts. And in order to do that, we really need to know what our thoughts are. So we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Thank you. Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Sanskrit is not just a language to be written and spoken, but it is a doorway to gaining understanding of how we experience life and truth. Conscious Confidence is a book written by Sanskrit scholar Sarah Main. The stories Sarah shares will take you on a journey of understanding how the power of this ancient language is not only still relevant, but can truly transform your everyday life. Drawing upon the deeper meanings behind the Sanskrit words for confidence, Sarah Main outlines principles for harnessing the fourfold energy of conscious confidence: focusing, uniting, simplifying, and energizing. Not just a book, a life guide. Available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Inner Traditions. You can find all of those links on consciousconfidence.com.
What would you do with the power of community? How do you create your own rituals? Tune in to Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Huff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, the second Wednesday of each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Our lives begin with the stories we are told and the stories we tell ourselves. Storytelling is the key. To learn more about me, visit LivingYourGifts.com. That's LivingYourGifts.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So today we're talking about our minds and what our minds are doing and what they're doing to us. So we've just been talking about a couple of practices that you can use to become more aware of, become a student of your own mind, and become more aware of what your mind is doing. So I was talking about the two questions: how do I feel in my body, and what is my mind doing? And this is a practice that I can stop myself a couple of times a day, write down the answers to those questions, and over time begin to really kind of map out the habits of mind that I experience in my life. When I was doing this exercise a few years ago, one of the kind of a breakthrough moment that I had with it, I was working in an office at the time, and it was a Friday afternoon, and I was there by myself, and I got a call from the business office. I'd gone on a conference and they needed me to reconcile the accounts, which meant, I didn't really know exactly what it meant. I knew I had to go into a bank website and I needed to PDF documents. And this was not work that I normally did, but the woman in the office who normally took care of this was gone for the day. And that day was the deadline and it had to be done. And you can tell, I mean, honestly, this happened 10 years ago, and I can still get sort of short of breath just talking about it. So I was in the website, and I was thinking about the women in the business office who I was convinced thought I was an idiot, so I wouldn't call them to ask for help, even though I could not figure out how to manage the website, and I never PDF'd or scanned a document before, so I didn't really know what that meant or how to do it. And then the timer went off on my phone. And I thought, I don't have time for this, right? But I did it anyway. So I got out the piece of paper, and I think I probably have it somewhere still, this scrawling writing that says, well, I'm very tense. I'm breathing rapidly. My stomach's in turmoil, and my mind is racing, and shouting at me, you're an idiot. What's wrong with you? Why don't you understand how to do this? It's not difficult. Why you can't ask for help because you think they think the story you're telling yourself about what these women in some office across the way think about you. What? Ah, I was so angry at myself and so just angry and riled up, and the tension in my body was unbelievable. So I wrote down the answers to the two questions, and here's the crazy thing that happened. There was suddenly space. There was suddenly a gap between this warring dialogue in my mind and a kind of what I would call an essential or authentic Mary Angela. And as I wrote the answers, I was calmer. I could see what was happening inside me, but I saw it now on paper. And of course, no surprise, when I turned back to the task at hand, it wasn't that hard. I didn't even have to call those ladies in the business office to ask them for help. I figured it out all by myself, partly because I had brought some calm into my life just by asking those two questions. So it leads us to this idea. This is a very important idea in Buddhist philosophy, and I am not a Buddhist philosopher. I am a person who appreciates and respects those traditions and have learned from them, and I share them with you as another person on a journey. But it is the idea that we are not our thoughts. And the first time I heard that, I just thought that sounded bogus because how could that possibly be true? What does that even mean? I am not my thoughts. If I'm not my thoughts, really? That just doesn't make sense to me. So as I learned more about it, I came into contact through Martha Beck with a kind of a traditional story that's told in Eastern philosophy. And I'm going to tell you Martha Beck's version of it, and she calls it The Watcher. And the purpose of the story is that it helps me to understand and to create that distance, to notice and to watch my thoughts so that I can watch what they're doing to me rather than stuffing them down or being carried away by them. So, The Watcher. Martha Beck would ask you to sort of look at your two hands. And in one hand, to imagine a figure that you think of as the dictator, the rule enforcer, right? This is the voice of self-criticism. This is the voice that is so angry with me for being a procrastinator, who doesn't understand why I can't get things done in an orderly fashion, who is constantly telling me, don't do that. You shouldn't do this. What's wrong with you? Absolutely on my case all the time. And on the other side, is what Beck calls a wild child, and I would call a ragamuffin. This is also, in a sense, pure need. This is the dirty, helpless, rule-ignorant child who does not know what is going on, why she's being constantly shouted at by the dictator, who really just wants a nap and a hug, and maybe a bar of chocolate, right? And for me, I picture on the dictator side, it always makes me think about, if you ever watched Bugs Bunny cartoons and the opera versions, you know, there's a figure in those cartoons who's kind of a giant imposing figure and speaks only and sings at the top of her voice and is large and domineering and, in my case, mad at me all the time and always on my case about something. And over here, I actually picture a doll that I had when I was a kid. I was sick often when I was growing up, and the neighbor lady made me a Raggedy Ann doll. And of course, initially she was pristine and a beautiful doll. And over time, she got kind of messed up looking. And I just always picture her with a dirty face slumped in a corner, wishing she could have a nap and a hug and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So these two voices are in our head. You have them, I have them. It's not uncommon and unusual. So we want to notice some things about them. First, their relationship to each other, right? This dictator is constantly nagging and threatening and punishing the child. And the child is not sure what's going on and doesn't understand why and is feeling helpless and hopeless and overwhelmed all of the time. I've been working with a client who is experiencing this in kind of an extreme way during this crisis that we're all in. The challenge of working from home and the dictator saying, get to work, get to work, get to work. You should be working. Why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you doing more? But she's overwhelmed and she's exhausted. And she just wants to be reassured that everything's going to be okay. And these two voices in her head, just as they are in mine, are often at war with each other. So then we want to take a little bit of a step back and say, what else do we notice? Well, here's kind of a surprising thing about those two voices. They mean well, right? I read a book years and years ago that probably saved my life called Self-Esteem. It was about self-esteem, as you might guess. And the sentence in that book that really changed me was when the authors wrote, everyone's doing the best that they can. I found that shocking because I could think of other people in my life and certainly myself and say, my God, is that the best I can do? Is that the best they can do? That's kind of troubling. But if I take that seriously and sincerely and say to myself, we're all doing the best that we can. And those two voices, they mean well. The dictator's trying to keep us safe, right? Is afraid for us, doesn't want us to fail, doesn't want us to get in trouble. And the child just wants us to get our basic needs met, right? So they mean well. That's first. Second, what's happening is that I can look at them with compassion, right? If I can say they mean well, then I can look at those voices with compassion and loving kindness and non-judging awareness. And suddenly I am calmer. So then the question is, if I can see those and hear those voices, they're not me, right? I am not my thoughts. I am the watcher. I am the witness. The I in that sentence is that deeper, more authentic, whole self who can watch those two voices. And so I can watch them when they come towards me. I can watch them as they rise up in me. And I can, if I practice mindfulness, I can see them coming. And so that I don't have to just shove the ideas and the thoughts and the feelings down, nor am I simply carried away by them. So that's a challenging thought, though. So what I would hope you would do now is to think about three things. One, what's something that you can do in your everyday life that is short, you're alone, and you can do it routinely without an enormous amount of critical thinking involved so that you can practice mindfulness in that moment. For just 2 or 3 minutes, allow yourself to focus on exactly what's right in front of you and nothing else. And in doing that, gain greater capacity for a quiet mind, greater tolerance for the present moment. When your mind wanders, bring yourself gently back to the present moment. And afterwards, try to notice some of the places that your mind typically goes. I want you to also think about putting some alarm in your life a couple of times a day to start to gain more information about what is your mind doing and what and how do you feel in your body and where do you feel it? And then I want you to think about who those two figures are in your life, what they look like, what they represent. I've noticed with clients that the more they can put an image to those two voices, the more quickly they learn to be able to recognize those two voices. And then we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up a little bit with ideas about next steps, where to go, how to contact me, etc. So you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. If you haven't been practicing active listening or are getting into some bad habits, it's a good idea to go back to the basics and remind yourself how to be a good listener. Here's an idea that might help. When your child comes to you with a story about her day, set aside whatever you're doing and give her your full attention. If you're in the middle of something that can't be put aside, tell her that you really want to be able to give her story your full attention and ask if you could continue the conversation at a specific time. So for example, this sounds like an important story and I'd really like to give it my full attention. Can we talk about it in 10 minutes when supper's in the oven? Active listening might sound like common sense, but often it's these simple skills that get buried in our parenting pack and easily forgotten or overlooked. Challenge yourself to practice this skill for a full week and see if you notice a difference in how much your child is sharing.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the Energy Paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The Energy Paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Coming to you live on TransformationTalkRadio.com is the Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up with Claudette Rowley. Powerful conversations, practical innovations, and transformative solutions as Claudette and her guests delve into the possibilities and what she calls reality resistance. Join the cultural revolution and annihilate obstacles. Check it out at culturalbrilliance.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So today we've been talking about this idea of noticing what our minds are doing and what they're doing to us, perhaps more importantly. We're trying to become students of our own mind so that we can release ourselves from negative and fearful thinking and suffering in general. So a couple of things I want to kind of postscript of scripts of what we've been talking about. I was just talking about the idea that there are these two internal voices that tend to be dominating our thinking. A dictator, very rule-bound, always criticizing, trying to keep us on the straight and narrow, but always finding fault and never really being satisfied with who we are or what we're doing. It's that voice that is trying to convince us that who we are in and of ourselves just now is not enough. And it's at war with and constantly berating and challenging and struggling with this inner child, right? This absolute pure need, ragamuffin, who doesn't understand the rules, who just wants a nap, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a hug, etc. So when we think about those two voices, particularly that kind of dictatorial voice or that rule-bound voice, or in my case, that screaming opera singer, I think one of the things to remind ourselves when we try to say, if that voice is not me, who is it? I really think of that voice as the voice of the culture, the voice of our family, the voice of they, the voice of should, the voice of the rules that are not necessarily relevant to us, but that we have internalized and we think we have to beat ourselves up by having those rules in our head all the time shouting at us. And when I think about some of the clients I've worked with, I notice that people often tell me that that voice is very important to them, actually, that their fear is if they didn't constantly judge and criticize themselves, that they would simply be nothing but that voice, that ragamuffin child. In other words, they'd spend every day on the couch doing nothing, that it's that voice of criticism that gets them up in the morning. I said to a client one day, for her, that voice, that dictatorial voice, is also really related to a feeling of anxiety, that she's always on, she's always trying to be perfect. And I said, well, Susan, who would you be without that anxiety? And she said, hey, that anxiety is the reason that I was at the top of my class in college. Like, okay, but isn't that interesting? She had convinced herself, she'd, you know, that in a way, that voice, I have a client who refers to it as a gremlin voice, right, has convinced her that she would be nothing without it. And, you know, mindfulness this approach to life is to really emphasize non-judging awareness, as Jonathan Faust calls it, loving kindness, as the Buddhists say. So, and to bring that towards ourselves first, and to believe, finally, that we don't have to beat up on ourselves all the time in order to accomplish something in life. So that's one thing I wanted to kind of add as a postscript. And then the second one is, you know, when I was talking about making the bed, and I said, for me, it is a way to practice mindfulness to get myself set for the day in trying to be present to the what's immediately in front of me and without judgment. So I might use that phrase, it's a meditative practice. And I think one of the things that I've noticed in working with people is that, of course, meditation is not an unfamiliar word. But for many of us, it brings to mind almost immediately someone sitting alone in a room with a blank mind, right? That's kind of our stereotype, I would say, a caricature, really, of what meditation is. And the reason I say that is that for me and from my experience of it, meditation can happen in small moments. It is, so for me, that making the bed or brushing my teeth or taking a shower or washing the dishes, when I can really say, okay, I am present. I know what's happening in my mind and body, and I'm right here. Do I build a capacity for longer meditation sessions? Absolutely. That's really important. It's absolutely transformational. But I have to start somewhere. And that's why I suggest these small steps to start somewhere. And really, you know, breathing or meditation is not necessarily about a blank mind. It is about becoming a student of our minds so that once we start to notice where our mind routinely goes, we can bring it back to our focus object, which for many meditators is breath work, right? Breathing is not a whole lot more interesting than making the bread, right? But to put all my concentration and awareness on that is to quiet my mind, to bring stillness and peace into my body. And that's very powerful, very transformational. But again, I want to start somewhere. I want to start with these small practices, build my capacity, build my tolerance, understand the patterns my mind forms, and to be able to therefore see them coming before they take me away or put me in a situation where I have to distract myself in ways that are perhaps not in my best interest in order to distract myself from that the discomfort of my feelings. So let's see. So we have talked a lot about what our minds are doing, where our minds are going, some strategies for how to get a better or deeper understanding of that. And so a couple of things I want to leave you with. One is just a kind of a thought about what we've been talking about. So freeing ourselves from negative and fearful thinking, you know, requires us to become students of our own mind. And there are really simple practices we can use in order to do that, ones that build our capacity, quiet our mind, build our tolerance for mindfulness. And in doing that, we can remember that we are not our thoughts, right? Our thoughts tend to come from the culture, from family, from sense of obligation and the world around us, rather than from the more authentic, compassionate inner self. And once we notice that and begin to understand how our thoughts are not us, that we can see our thoughts, we can observe our thoughts, we can be witnesses to our thoughts, and in being witnesses, be witnesses filled with compassion and loving kindness and non-judging awareness. And it's then I would believe that real healing begins, and it begins within us. So I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and I'm a life coach. And I will be here next week and every Thursday at noon Pacific time, which is 3:00 Eastern time. And if you would like more information about me or my practice, you can go to my website. It's mcguirelifecoach.com. And that's McGuire, M-A-G-U-I-R-E, lifecoach.com. And you can learn how to contact me. You can learn about my coaching practice. In addition to life coaching, I also do communication coaching because In my previous life, I worked in higher education as a faculty member and a dean, et cetera, et cetera. And so I've worked a lot with people and groups trying to improve the quality of their communication. And now what I would bring to work that I've done for many years is a real conversation, an interesting conversation, I think, about mindfulness and how mindfulness can improve our relationships with other people, because we aren't stuck in those stories that we're telling ourselves about our relationships with other people. Next week, we're going to talk about the habit of judgment. And I don't know about you, but one of the things I've noticed is that it's a really powerful habit. It's very hard to break. It's with us every day. And getting a hold of it is not just about negative judgments. It's also about noticing just that we have to evaluate everything. Everything in our lives, we're constantly saying good, bad, or indifferent. And it's like so many of the things we're talking about. Do I have to make judgments sometimes? Of course. But it's when that's the only thing I can do and my mind is in that constant state of judgment that I also experience suffering. And so that's our goal here at Nothing But Now, is to practice mindfulness, to be aware, consciously aware of the present moment, to be aware of it without judgment, and to free ourselves from negative and fearful thinking. So I look forward to seeing you next time and talking to you next week about these topics. And feel free to contact me if you have questions or would like to have more information about my practice at mary@mcguirelifecoach.com. Thanks very much for being here. You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, mcguirelifecoach.com. That's mcguirelifecoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.